Up next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, go into the film room for a breakdown of the big plays against Seattle.
Joel Bitonio is back in the kitchen and taking on Mod Mex on the west side.
I can handle the mixing in the kitchen.
Mixing in the kitchen, that's the fun part.
And Joe Thomas brings you an all-new episode of The Best 2 Minutes of Your Life.
All that and more next.
Good morning, Doug Pound. Welcome to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, before we get started today and get right into football, let's start things out with something fun.
Sounds good. We get to sing again?
No more singing. Christmas is over.
Already.
But how about an all-new Browns Blitz with rookie defensive back Ibrahim Campbell?
My first celebrity crush was Beyonce. My favorite smell is biscuits in the oven. The most famous person I ever met was Joe Hayden. My favorite place to go in Cleveland, besides my apartment, is anywhere downtown. There's a lot of good restaurants downtown. My best friend on the team is Johnson Betamosi. We seemed to click when I first got here, and he's someone that I try to model after. He does a lot of the right things. So just being a young guy coming in, he did things the right way, so I try to follow after him. My first car was a 1999 Nissan Maxima. Pearl white. I bought it myself, which I was pretty proud of, and held on to it for a while until I went to school, but had some good memories in that car.
Well, another interesting fact about Campbell is that he is the youngest of 11 siblings. And how about this? He has 8 older brothers.
Oh my goodness, probably a lot of sibling rivalry in that house. And speaking of brotherly competition, Cleveland Browns daily radio hosts Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm took a break from their show to take you into the film room, breaking down some big plays from the Seattle game. Check it out.
What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome to Inside the Film Room. Nathan Zagura joined by Matt Wilhelm for today's edition as we take a look at the Browns and the Seahawks. We're going to look at a very well-designed screenplay from Johnny Manziel to Duke Johnson. 2nd and 10, the ball's near midfield. Marlon Moore is going to go in motion, and why are we doing that, Matt?
But anytime a defender chases from one side of the field to the next, it's a big signal that it's going to be man-to-man coverage, which is exactly what you want when you dial up a screen.
All right, so we're going to start here. They're showing single high safety. Probably their typical cover three is what you're expecting. If you're the Browns, play fake to Duke, and then the play fake for the reverse. Why is that important? Look at the pursuit this way. They respect the reverse. What makes this play so successful right here? Cam Irving's going to get out on the linebacker who's responsible for Duke and wall him off. And you see the numbers? That's why that reverse was important. This guy would be in perfect position to make a play if he squared up to the line of scrimmage. Instead, he's going that way.
You're exactly right. You clear out the defenders down the field, so you've got receivers on receivers. If this thing breaks, you've got Travis Benjamin and Terrell Pryor working extremely hard. You got the run action. They take the run fake, then they peel off on the screen, because John DeFilippo has showed that flare screen as well to a receiver or
Absolutely.
Duke Johnson in the past.
And what you have basically now is 3-on-3. Over here, here, and then you're hoping, get out there and maybe Duke can get to the house. But a very well-designed play, as you see it once again by John DeFilippo. Duke Johnson gets there. Show him the vertical. There it is. Nice play down the sideline for the Browns.
Yeah,
and they were in business.
And the real key for this was John DeFilippo knowing that they were going to be man-to-man on 2nd and 10, allowing Duke Johnson to win in a one-on-one situation.
All right, let's go on to our second play now. Here it is, 3rd and 7, the ball on the Seattle 7, and the Browns looking to get it into the end zone. We've got trips to the right, Terrell Pryor, Gary Barnage, and of course Taylor Gabriel. You've got Travis Benjamin up here, Duke Johnson, and Johnny is going to be in the shotgun.
Here you see 4 players over 3, so they're going to zone this off. This is what Seattle does so well. They play their zone coverage even down in the red zone, so they've got 4 over 3. They've got a one-on-one. He's playing inside man technique, so he's really trying to take away the slant by Benjamin, maybe force a throw, that back shoulder throw on the backside.
Look, so he wants to get the ball out now. What do you got? Pryor's locked up with Richard Sherman, nothing on the
double
hitch
here
of the goal line, and they've got Barnage doubled. Gary Barnage told me after the game they played more man on him than they'd seen on film all year long, as they want to make sure he's taken away, and Benjamin's basically double-teamed up top as well. What you have here is going to be Duke Johnson for a check down, but they got to feel that they're going to be able to make the tackle before Duke can get in the end zone.
The one cardinal rule here is, as a linebacker, you always want to force this guy to run around you to keep your body in between the quarterback and the receiver. And we see Gary Barnage win low to keep the play alive and get into the vision of Johnny Manziel.
Play breaks down. Johnny gets out of the pocket. He scrambles right. I talked to Gary, and he said, I saw him going right, so I was going to come with him this way. But as you see, the linebacker starts to suck up. That leaves Gary alone. Now, this safety's going to try to get down here, but he can't get there in time, and it's a great throw just in time to Barnage. A thing of beauty. Big play, Gary. Now, 9 touchdowns on the season. That ties the Browns franchise record for most of the season by a tight end. Well, that'll do it for us here in the film room. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for watching, and back to you, Dustin and Sarah.
Well, we will all be cheering for Gary on the sidelines. With only 2 games left, he's in good shape to break that record held by Ozzie Newsome for the last 35 years.
Yeah, and possibly a trip to the Pro Bowl. Maybe a little trip to Hawaii in the future for Gary Barnage. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here. We'll be right back. Next on Inside the Cleveland Browns, go behind the scenes with the Browns equipment staff, and Joel Bitonio learns how to make some of the best guac in Cleveland.
I'm a fan of the goat cheese and the guac.
You know, I like to say this is my gateway guacamole.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns.
Well, Sarah, for the second year in a row, Andrew Hawkins and some of his teammates hosted the 1st and 10 holiday takeover for Cleveland Rec Center youth. Check out the guys bringing that holiday cheer.
We had 150 kids from the City of Cleveland Recreation Centers participate from every single ward in the city. So there were underprivileged kids who had the opportunity to enjoy Christmas.
When I was young, you know, my mom, who, you know, worked double shifts and did everything she could and did so incredible for us, you know what I mean? But we had a lot of kids in the household that didn't have a lot of money. So I can remember one time that, you know, people brought gifts to our house and we weren't expecting it. And it was awesome, man. And, you know, I can always remember that feeling, and I've always wanted to give it back to other kids.
Yeah, one more surprise for you, but I need you guys to help me count down.
3, 2, 1. Look at this. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing what the Cleveland Browns have done for these kids. Some of these kids may not have a Christmas at all, and so this just gives these kids so much joy, so much hope. So, and just allowing them to see one of the players in person and how friendly that they are, and maybe gives them a dream that someday they'll succeed.
To see more on how the Browns give back, visit clevelandbrowns.com/community.
All right, Sarah, have you ever heard of a friend twin?
Ooh, I don't know.
You know, somebody that you share all the same interests with, somebody that thinks like you. Have you had somebody like that?
I think you might be my friend twin.
Oh, we can be friend twins. Well, how about this? Christian Kirksey this week got to meet his in this week's Junior Reporter.
Hi, my name is Brady. What's your name?
Hi, Brady. My name is Christian Kirksey.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
What's your favorite meal after a game?
My favorite meal has to be pasta. I love getting my carbs back, and it gives me all of my energy. What's your favorite meal?
Spaghetti and pasta.
Oh, so we just alike. Good.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, besides football, I want to go into sports agency and hopefully do the same thing that my agent is doing for me, and that's guiding me in the right direction. And, you know, staying close to something I love, which is football. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
A football player.
A defensive football player?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Good.
If you were a famous chef, what kind of food would your restaurant serve?
Well, just to put this out there, I'm a terrible cook. So, I'll probably cook pasta, since that's my favorite meal after practice. So, what would be your favorite meal to make?
Pasta.
Pasta? Me and you, the same person.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, those two are definitely two peas in a pod. Well, our next story is one of loss, but also inspiration, as Browns defensive back Tremont Williams sat down with us to talk about his wife and her family's battle with breast cancer.
38 Reasons is obviously my foundation. The name just came up because 38 was my number, focusing on breast cancer. I had an aunt who died of it. So from every stage, every woman on my wife's side has had it. She did go take the test, and she doesn't have to gene. So that was encouraging. She didn't have to gene. Her mom took the test. Her mom had the gene. So I thought that was a breakthrough by itself, that she didn't have to gene. And now I have a daughter. So it's even scarier. But at the same time, you know, we're being experienced with this so much that we can take all the necessary steps. Once my daughter get old enough, we're going to make sure she go take the test to see if she has the gene or not. And if she do or if she don't, you know, we still going to take the necessary steps of her being healthy. So, you know, first thing and foremost is you just want to get awareness out there. And that's a big part of me working with American Cancer Society. For every PADS breakup, it's $500 that I give to American Cancer Society. And for every interception, I give $1,000. What people don't know either is that if I don't make it to $10,000, I'm already going to give at least $10,000. So if I don't make it to that, they are automatically going to get $10,000. You know that you donate the money, and a lot of times you don't exactly know where it's going at, but you're hoping that it's going in the right direction. And I got a chance to see some of the patients at the Sidemen Cancer Center. It was refreshing to talk to them and encourage them and make their day. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. I mean, you can donate as much money as you want, but when you see the people and you're able to experience it, you know, it changes your mind about everything. You know, obviously one of the things that you always want to do is help people, but the people who really need it, you know, we need to take out at least whatever, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is out of your day. If you can encourage them and make their day, that's what it's about.
Wow, well, his positive outlook is so encouraging.
Yeah, it really is, Sarah. All right, Dog Pound, keep it right here. We'll be right back.
When we return, the Joe Thomas Hour is all new.
He's from Canada, and they don't celebrate Christmas, unfortunately.
And get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at the equipment team. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Joe Thomas, we all love Joe. Mm-hmm. He has started all 142 games since being drafted by the Browns back in 2007. Now, offensive lineman Austin Pastor has some catching up to do. Check them out in this week's Joe Thomas Hour.
Welcome back to a special holiday edition of the Joe Thomas Hour, the best 2 minutes of your life. I'm here with Browns left guard Austin Pastor. He's from Canada, and they don't celebrate Christmas, unfortunately, but we're going to ask him a few questions about Christmas. Austin, what is your favorite gift you've ever gotten around the holidays?
Whew. Well, I just bought myself a drone the other day, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Have you got it registered?
No, I don't think we have to register until the 21st, so I'm still okay.
Are you prepared to pay the giant fee that they're going to charge you?
No, I'm hoping I don't get fined. I'm not going to fly near any airports, so I should be okay.
So we don't have to look out for you. That's great. What is the worst holiday present you've ever gotten?
Whew, I don't know. Probably some fruitcake or some other undesirable food gift.
So you have actually gotten fruitcake?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
What does it look like?
It looks like a loaf of bread with some raisins and other crap in there.
Mmm, sounds delicious. Do you use a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree?
We actually have one of each this year. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Oh, I prefer the real ones.
You like the smell of them?
I like the smell. I like having needles all over the floor and sap all over your hands after you put it up.
A lot of sap. Favorite holiday song?
Ooh.
Can't be the Canadian national anthem.
Let's see. Oh, John, Little Drummer Boy.
How does that one go?
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Everybody loves that part. All right, so when you were growing up in Canada, you guys were pretty close to Santa's workshop. Did you ever get in the car and drive up there to visit him?
Yeah, I hopped in the snowmobile one time and you know, took a little look around the workshop there.
How many elves were up there?
It's about like 10,000 or something.
Wow, an army of elves. That sounds like a horror movie. Did you ever write Santa a letter when you were a kid?
Oh, of course. He didn't ever give me what I asked for, but I did write him many letters.
Really? Disappointed quite often on Christmas. You must have been a bad boy.
Yeah, you know, Santa didn't look out for me, but my parents did, so that's good.
All right, last question. Canada better to spend Christmas or the United States?
Yeah, anywhere in the north is, because you want it to be snowy. You know, I've been in Florida the last few years, and it's not quite the Christmas spirit like it is up here.
That's so true. No Christmas spirit down south. Hey, thanks for joining us on the special holiday edition of the Joe Thomas Hour, the best 2 minutes of your life.
Well, unfortunately, no white Christmas for Austin this year. Can't say I'm sad about that, but hopefully Santa will bring him a belated gift of a win in Kansas City.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well, last week you got to see that it takes a team of professionals to get your Cleveland Browns to the away games.
Well, this weekend, an even closer look at the staff who might have the most important job every game, the equipment staff.
My name is Brad Mellon, head equipment manager with the Cleveland Browns. My responsibility, as I like to refer to it as, I'm kind of the mother of the team, get players dressed and get them to point from point A to point B. Everything we could possibly need on the road, whether we end up needing it or not, we take with us. So not only the player clothes, uniforms, if you will, helmets, shoulder pads, and their shoes, we also take care of the coaches and the staff on the road in the locker room and transport all the video stuff, all the trainer stuff, and basically all of our stuff. Which is why we use United, such a great company. It's awesome because we can truck a lot of stuff, but also we got to fly everything. But it's just having, you know, good people in good places and a lot of good communication. I mean, we take 17,000 pounds of equipment on the road with us. So the communication that we get with Simon, with United, with our trucking company to be able to pick our stuff up at the facility, bring it over here, load it on the plane. Really, the planning for the next game starts really the day after the game. What we normally do is call the equipment guy, make sure they're wearing what color jersey so we don't mess that up down the road. We'll talk to them, let them know kind of our itinerary plan, and then we'll call the visiting clubhouse guy down there and let them know when our truck's going to arrive, the equipment's going to be there. Like, for instance, right now, they're almost finishing up setting up the locker room. It's been a good relationship for me, especially in the equipment department area with United.
Well, those guys work so hard, they never really get noticed. It's incredible. You think about it, the logistics, the planning that goes into some of these away trips, it's amazing.
Well, stay right here at Dog Pound. When we come back, Joel Bitonio visits El Carnicero in Lakewood and learns all about their famous guac and Lucho Libre decor.
This week's three signs for success, presented by Crystal Clear Imaging. Number one, contain running back Sharkandrick West in the Chiefs' eighth-ranked rushing attack. Number two, feed the crow and get the Browns' running game going early. And number three, the secondary needs to take advantage of the Chiefs' 28th-ranked passing offense.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. El Carnicero is a well-known restaurant around town for having some of the best guac you can find and for the hundreds of Lucho Libre masks on the wall.
Yeah, and Joel Bitonio recently traveled to the Lakewood Eatery to check out both. Take a look.
What's up, guys? Out here in Lakewood, Ohio at El Carnicero. They have some really good Mexican food. I've been here a few times and I love it to death. We're about to go in and learn how to make some of the best guacamole they have in Ohio.
What's up, Joel?
Hey, Eric. Welcome to El Carnicero.
Thanks, man. I've been here a bunch of times. I'm kind of excited to learn what it's all about.
Awesome. Well, we're known for modern Mexican food. We're also known for our creative guacamoles. Let's head to the kitchen and whip some stuff up.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to learn.
Come on. Gets a little hot back here.
A little bit.
So just pretend it's not hot. We'll get through it.
I like it, man. So you start all the guacs with this base?
All the guacs start with just Calavo, California avocados.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm going to add a little bit of kosher salt, some black pepper, garlic, fresh squeezed lime juice. Take this masher and just start like kind of macerating those avocado flesh.
Yeah.
Jalapeno. How spicy do you like it?
I like a little spicy.
Yeah? All right. We'll add a couple extra.
That's good.
You.
So how much avocado do you guys go through, like, guacamole in a night? Like, everybody orders it, right, when they come?
Each case is about 48 avocados.
Okay.
We probably go through about 400.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. So I snuck in some cilantro that was minced, because that's your traditional Mexican flair.
Right.
And then some Spanish diced onion. That's perfect. Awesome. That's perfect. So we got...
I can handle the mixing in the kitchen. I can handle
mixing
that.
Mixing in the kitchen, that's the fun part, right?
Yep.
Every chef in the kitchen needs to learn... that every recipe, you got to taste it.
Right.
Just in case. That's perfect. Perfect. We're gonna incorporate some cool traditional flavor profiles, right. But we're gonna take it up a step. Let's do something a little spicy, but okay. Let's do something vegetarian. So right here we have some pineapple with jicama, a Mexican root vegetable that tastes like an apple and a potato. Yeah. So you can go ahead and mix that one. And then I'm gonna make the house favorite, which is a creamy goat cheese with fire-roasted poblano chilies and some diced tomatoes.
I'm a fan of the goat cheese and the guac.
You know, I like to say this is my gateway guacamole. You know, it's not plain and it's not simple, but it's not too crazy, kind of like the one that you're making.
Right.
And then we just plate them up.
Oh, nice. You got to make them from scratch. That's right. The key. Oh, I like that.
All right, Joel, thanks for your help in the kitchen. I know it was a little warm, but now we're out here at the bar to enjoy some happy hour. And we have a special guest, right?
Yeah, Matt's joining us. He's our Radiothon winner.
Welcome, Matt. Thanks for coming to El Carnicero.
Good to be here.
So let's bring out some Wild Boar nachos.
Here are the Wild Boar nachos that you wanted.
Awesome.
It's our house-made habanero hot sauce. Take it easy on that, all right?
All right, perfect. We'll do.
There's some braised wild boar, smoked Gouda fundido, some house-pickled veg. Dig in. Enjoy.
I'm excited, man. I'm going to try
it.
And just coming here, man, it's just a great atmosphere and stuff. And I love the decor. I mean, how'd you get all these masks and stuff?
So El Carnicero translates into the butcher.
Right.
And the story is the butcher is a championship luchador wrestler out of Mexico who retired from having bad knees. So he went back to the kitchen, which was his first love. There's a great satisfaction in cooking for other people.
Exactly. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Well, passion is everything in cooking and in football. Luckily, Joel is well on his way to recovery, and he's going to be back next season with the Browns.
All right, Dog Pound, thanks again for joining us. Have a safe and happy new year. Pop some champagne and go Browns.